Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
I said, if you had to eliminate every other type of marketing and deal getting that you've ever done off of the table and only keep one thing, what would it be? And she said, bandit signs.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's best ever guests as they share it with you. It's the best ever advice with none of the fluff. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, 24 Sound. 24 Sound is technically an audio production company, but they're way more than that. They're there to help you grow your business from audiobooks to podcasts and everything in between. They're flawless as sound engineers, and they're strategic as business partners. Visit them at 24sound.com. You can also email them at hello@24sound.com. And of course, as a best ever listener, you'll get a best ever discount. Mention best ever, and you'll get a 20% discount on your first product. Hello, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, JP Moses. Hi, JP.
Joe, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Thanks for joining us. JP is joining us from Memphis, Tennessee. He has been a real estate investor for over 15 years. He's done north of 250 deals. He stopped counting a long time ago. Number of deals don't matter. It's all about where those deals allow you to go in your financial path. And he strictly is focused on wholesale right now. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Really interesting. JP actually started the real estate investor group in Memphis and now has over 600 members. And he has 5 different names. And he hasn't told me what those names are. I'm going to assume that they are appropriate for our best ever listeners. But we're about to find out. So with that being said, JP, can you tell a little bit more about your background, what you're focused on now, and what the heck your 5 names are?
Yeah. I'll start with the names. My whole name is John Paul Clark Anthony Michael Moses. And it's 5 names, not 6, because John Paul is actually one name with a small p connected. And I don't, you know, people always say, why do you have so many names? Is it religious? Is it, you know, are you named after a bunch of relatives? And really the answer is none of those. My parents just liked those names. And I have 2 sisters, one older and one younger, and they both just have the regular one middle name. So it's kind of the beginning of my life that set the tone for being out of the ordinary, I guess you could say.
they clearly, if they would have had more kids, they could have spread the wealth a little bit on the names. But they wanted to pack all of the goodness into one child. So that's also kind of a blessing, right?
That's right. So you want me to elaborate a little bit more on my background?
Yeah. How you got to this point in your career and what you're focused on now?
Well, got started after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad back in 2000. And I'm sure that's a book that your listeners are pretty familiar with, a lot of them. That and The Cash Flow Quadrant, both by Robert Kiyosaki, just really rocked my world. And I remember I'd always had this entrepreneurial bent, but didn't know how to channel it. And I tried a lot of different things. I tried direct sales over the phone, and I tried multi-level marketing, and none of it just clicked. And, you know, I was in my 20s at the time, so you naturally try a lot of things. But then when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I thought, well, this guy got started in real estate, you know, so I guess I'll do that. So So I got on the internet and spent a lot of time on all the popular discussion forums of the day. It took me about 6 months before I finally invested in my first course. I paid $300 for it. Never forget. It wasn't very good, but it did create a scenario where I was determined not to waste that $300, even though it was a bad course. I was like, I have to make at least $300 out of real estate now, so I at least break even again. So got started in doing a lot of different things, very spread out. Anybody who's in the real estate game knows when you first get into it, you don't really know how deep and wide the rabbit hole is, you know, right, until you get into it. Usually you just see, you know, flip this house, or you read a book from Barnes and Noble or something, and then you get in, but then you see how much there is that you can do, and you get overwhelmed, and you try to do all of it. You try to become a, you know, you take the tool belt approach that you hear a lot of people talk about, and you try to do every kind of deal under the sun. I did that. I'm raising my hand. But after a few years, I discovered the secret, if you will, quote unquote secret, of being a specialist, and how much value there is in focusing in on a specific type of business model that's a good fit for my circumstances, for my market, and for my personality, for my likes and dislikes. And where those three things converge is kind of your sweet spot. And it's going to be different for different people. For me, it was wholesaling. So while I've done a little bit of a lot of different types of deals, you know, I've dabbled in notes, and I think I've done exactly 1.5 short sales. I've done a handful of rehabs. I was even an REO broker for a minute. I synchronized myself on wholesales, and that has been my thing. So I'm a big proponent of building your business focused on one business type, and at least 90% of what you do should be that one thing that you do really, really, really well. So fast forward to today, I run a couple of businesses, and my real estate operation is one of them, and we do only wholesale deals. My partner keeps trying to bring other things into the mix, but I keep saying no. I keep saying no. We only do wholesale deals. Only wholesale deals. Some of the people listening out there are going to think we're crazy and we're leaving a lot on the table, but I say we're doing wholesale deals better than anybody else in town, and that's why.
What is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Well, I love that question. It's hard to narrow it down, but if I had to pick one thing, I would say learning how to run your business like a business. Now, that is a very cliche thing to say, and it, you know, it's almost a business in the business world. It's almost one of those phrases that people say, but they don't even think about what it means anymore. Have you ever read The E-Myth? Are you familiar with The E-Myth by Michael Gerber?
I have, yes.
I read it twice. The first time I read it was a few years ago, and I became a huge fan of this idea of running your business from the you know, the CEO seat, from a business owner's perspective, and not being a technician in the business as much, even though you have to start out that way. But I really didn't know how to do it, and quite honestly, I just wasn't ready for it. I read it again a few years later, and it met me right where I was. I think a lot of stuff you can learn in a book, but then a lot of it you can hear in a book, but you really only can learn through your own school of hard knocks. You have to go through the process yourself. You have to think that you know better and try it your own way first, and then you come back around and realize that the people who've already been down that path actually do know a heck of a lot. And if you follow the blueprint that they've laid out and don't change it much, then you can actually achieve their success a lot faster. So I running my business like a business, what that means to me right now is, you know, when I first got started in wholesaling, I was out there hopping houses. I was out there driving to houses. I was meeting with sellers. I was doing the mail outs. I outsourced a little here and there, but it was really more out tasking. It wasn't truly leveraging systems and people. I didn't have a team helping me with the business. But this time, you know, my business has kind of grown and shrunk over the years, and grown again and shrunk again. And just like any business, you have your ups and downs. And when I decided to reboot the wholesaling business, I said, this time I am building this thing from the CEO seat. I'm going to run this thing like a business. And it's been an incredible experience, incredibly different experience. I was telling you before we started the show here that I don't even think of myself as, you know, people ask, do I do real estate full time or what do I do full time? And I don't even think of myself as whether I'm full or part time. I own businesses and I run businesses as a business owner, as a CEO. And it doesn't mean I sit back, you know, with my feet on my desk all day. I certainly put in time, but I put in a heck of a lot more time working on it rather than in it. And to me, that's that is the fruit of learning how to use, how to build teams of people, how to build systems that those teams can plug into, and then turn those systems over to the team and let them refine them even further. And then trust your team to, even if they don't do it as good as you, to do it instead of you anyway and correct course as you go. And it's been a whole different experience for me. And from a big picture, at least from a 10,000 foot view, that is the greatest piece of advice I can give your listeners, is to become a fierce chaser of building your business like a business and running it from the CEO seat and not from the I wear all the hats all the time seat.
What's one specific tip that you'd give a best ever listener on how to build your business from the CEO seat?
I don't know if it's as granular as you might expect, but I would say you got to start at the beginning by reading the E-Myth and really digesting it and understanding the concepts that are in it, and then deciding there are no other options. I'm going to build my real estate investing business like this. Another guy I know who's really, really good at, I've learned a lot from over the years, you may know him, is Joe McCall. He's a buddy of mine who invests in multiple markets, and he naturally thinks in terms of systems and teams, and he owns several businesses, and his real estate business is just one of them. So I've learned a lot from him. And if anybody ever has a chance to interact with Joe McCall out there, I would recommend he and Michael Gerber's E-Myth as your starting point.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
All right, man, let's do it.
First, a quick word from our sponsor. Best ever listeners, if you want to grow your business, you need an audio product. Contact 24Sound at 24sound.com for a free consultation. And remember, you'll get 20% off your first product just by mentioning Best Ever. All right, JP, best ever book you've read?
Does it have to be real estate related? Because my answer, honestly, is the Bible. I'm a man of faith, and so that's kind of the core of everything I do. Are you looking for something more business or personal development related?
We're looking for the best ever book you've read, so it sounds like that's to be the Bible.
That's the Bible.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it.
I think I would say that the best ever personal growth experience I've ever been through has nothing to do with business. It was when my dad suffered a traumatic brain injury due to an accident, and everything changed in his life in an instant, just like that. He went from being an incredibly accomplished artist and just a regular, ordinary guy loving life, to being in a bed in diapers with a feeding tube and missing part of his brain. And he's still with us, thank God. But seeing that and experiencing it with him really impressed upon me more than anything how important it is that I live my life today in the way that I envision my life should be, and that I not put it off until someday, and I not think someday I'll work less, someday things will come together, someday I will take my kids to Disney World, someday I'll create the life, you know, everything I'm sacrificing today is for someday. And really that all changed, my perspective changed dramatically when I went through that experience, and someday is now today.
First, thoughts are with your dad, your family, and you know, everyone else who is touched by that. And what a lesson and what a takeaway that you got from that experience. And if there's anything I can do or the best ever listeners can do to support your family on that, please let us know.
Oh, well, thank you. It was quite some time ago, and things are going actually pretty well. He's recovering pretty well. Can I throw a little wrench into this and make one more book recommendation that goes along with that?
Sure.
There's a book that really has a lot to do with the ideas that I just shared there in terms of where your priorities are and having a vision for the life you want and living that vision today. It's called Life and Air It's like the word millionaire, but with the word life instead of million, L-I-F-E. And you can find it on Amazon. Highly recommend that book if the message of what I just said, the core, resonates with you.
Best ever deal you've done?
Well, best ever deal I've done has just been a regular old wholesale deal. It was a $20,000 profit on a contract assignment, and there's really nothing sexy about it except that check. A lot of guys out there do bigger wholesale deals, but in the Memphis market, our values are a little bit lower, so we have a little higher volume than a lot of wholesalers do. But $20,000 deal is a pretty good deal for us, and I think that's the best check we've ever had.
Best ever project you're most excited about right now?
I am most excited right now about trying a new bandit sign strategy that we haven't deployed yet, but I learned it from a friend of mine named Duan. And you want me to share it real quick?
Yeah.
So I'm sure your listeners are familiar with bandit signs, those signs that you put out. And one of the questions I hear a lot from people is, how do you avoid the bandit sign police, or, you know, the code enforcement, in other words? And there's various strategies for that. But I was talking to Duan the other day, and she shared with me, I asked her actually, if you had to wipe, and this is a girl who's done over 2,000 deals. I said, if you had to eliminate every other type of marketing and deal getting that you've ever done off of the table and only keep one thing, what would it be? And she said, bandit signs. And I was very surprised and said, well, why, of all the things you've done, would you keep bandit signs? She said, because of the strategy. She said she and her husband, Bill, go out once a month, only one day a month together, to put bandit signs out. And their goal is they want to put 50 signs out by happy hour. So they go out with 50 signs, they put them out by happy hour, and they go enjoy happy hour together. But they don't put them out on street poles, and they don't put them out in the median. What they do is they pick an area that they know they want to do deals in. Then they find every vacant property in that area. They're out there driving around. They find a vacant property, and you know all the telltale signs, and they put their signs in the yards of the vacant properties. So if you think about it, it's really brilliant, because number one, code enforcement doesn't touch it. It's on private property. It's not their property, but code enforcement is not going to pay attention to the sign that's in a yard. So their sign, it doesn't get bothered by code enforcement. Number two, sometimes whoever owns the house, whoever owns the vacant property, will call and say, why is your sign in my yard? And they say, oh, whoops, are you interested in selling your house? And they'll buy a house that way. Those that don't notice, maybe it's an REO and the bank doesn't, you know, they're not paying attention, or the owner's long gone, the sign sits there in the yard. And if you think about it, it's, you see in any particular neighborhood, you might see 5-10 of the same sign pop up all at once. And what do the neighbors think? The neighbors think, wow, these guys just bought up half the neighborhood. And by the way, if I need to sell my house, these are obviously the people to call. So
right.
She says they get more deals more consistently off of that bandit sign strategy than anything else. And I haven't done bandit signs for years because I can't stand the idea of getting up at 4 a.m. and putting them out and going to picking them up, you know, after the weekend and that kind of thing. But I just ordered 200 new bandit signs to try this strategy out myself.
Best ever quote?
Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain.
What's the best ever place to reach you?
I think it would be my real estate investing blog. I started it back in 2008. It's reitips.com. I have a whole bunch of free real estate investing forms that I offer people that I use in my own business. And also we put up blog posts every once in a while that talk about what we're learning in our business.
And lastly, JP, and I switched order around unintentionally, but we're just going to roll with it. What is your biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
I can think back to one deal I did. It was my first and only subject to deal. And it really went wonky on me. The reason it did is because the scenario with the property, the owner lived in California, and she let us take her property subject to. But before the closing, the way the timing was working out, I had a lease option buyer who was really needing to move into the property. And I made the newbie mistake. I'll never make it again. It's one of those one-time only mistakes of letting the tenant buyer move in about 2 days before we closed on the subject to acquisition. Uh-oh. And I thought, yeah, you know, we have a good rapport with the seller. It's just 2 days. You know, I'm trying to do the right thing by all people. I don't want to lose the buyer. She's got to be out of her place. And well, we'll just say it came back to bite me big time. And I had to end up paying a settlement on that. Don't do that.
JP, thank you so much for sharing your advice with the Best Ever listeners and talking about building your business, talking about wholesaling, and giving some specific tips, and especially that bandit sign strategy where, you know, instead of putting bandit signs on street corners and intersections, put it where vacant property is in the area, because it won't get taken down by code enforcement, and it could add value to the people whose property it is on, because they might, you know, find an easy way to sell their property, you know, through by calling that number to check in on who the heck's putting signs on their property. And also talking about, you know, being a specialist, focusing on a business model. And, you know, it was interesting when he talked about the three things that you look for as a specialist and the type of business, because in any type of real estate can make you money. It's a matter of, as you said, circumstances, the market, and your personality. And what's the perfect storm of real estate investment strategy that makes the most sense for you? And, you know, because ultimately, you're going to do whatever you enjoy doing, whatever meets your personality, matches up your personality. And then also, even if you like it a lot, the market has to match up with what you're implementing, and you know, circumstances of the time that you have to commit to it, and the different the amount of resourcefulness you want to do in order to make that happen. So thank you so much for being on the show, JP, sharing your best ever advice, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
Hey, you best ever listener, do you want more? Then go to joefairless.com, where you'll get tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And remember to subscribe to the best ever show in iTunes, so you can keep getting your daily dose of the best real estate investing advice ever.